It's Press Watch, the weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program hosted by Teresa Mitchell. That's coming up in just about a minute. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, Per Fogarang takes your calls to discuss Trump, the CIA, and Russia. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, your daily news magazine. And at 11, on Between the Covers, an outlaw activist on the run, a pipeline set to destroy a river, and three young women who must decide who to love, who to trust, and what to sacrifice. A conversation with Susan DeFreitas, the author of Hot Season. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a member, please become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. It's 8:59, and Press Watch is next.
Good morning, honey. You old gloomy sight.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Real Cool Film Series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month is Lady Sings the Blues, showing Monday, January 23rd at 7 p.m. Diana Ross portrays jazz singer Billie Holiday in this biographical drama. The film depicts her early attempts at a singing career and her eventual rise to stardom, as well as her difficult relationships and drug addiction. Again, that's Lady Sings the Blues, Monday, January 23rd at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Great news, the 2016 elections have been rescinded because it has come out that 60 million Americans mistook Donald Trump for a Pokemon Go monster. So you see, they went down to the polls with their cell phones. And since that isn't actually true, millions of U.S. citizens plan to protest the inauguration of a malignant, racist, sexist, fascist, and his entourage by engaging in a general strike tomorrow. Actions are happening today as well. I'll have the details in a few minutes, but first, here's an announcement from elections reporter Greg Palast. You remember Greg Palast, the one who actually found out how the election was stolen. He writes, "I have a simple request." He writes, "I am asking that this Thursday, meaning today, at 5 p.m., you join the NAACP National Voter Fund, Rainbow Push, Josh Fox of Climate Revolution, and many, many more, and share the Facebook Live broadcast of my documentary, Greg Palast documentary, the film that exposes exactly how Trump and his cronies attacked the voting rights of a million minority voters to steal the White House." He writes, "That's all we are asking. Between 5 and 6 p.m. tonight on this Inauguration Eve, open up your computer, put it on the Facebook, and share the live stream with your Facebook followers. You can find this by pulling up gregpalast.com. The best democracy money can buy, a tale of billionaires and ballot bandits," he writes, "follows my crew's undercover investigations for Rolling Stone and BBC TV. He writes, pass this on to your friends, your organizations, and anyone who wants to get unstupid about the theft of the 2016 election. I'll be leading an online discussion, Greg Palast writes, right after the broadcast, titled, What Do We Do Now? Once again, that's on gregpalast.com. Now, here's the real news you're not supposed to know. The nitty-gritty, the lowdown. Let me lay this on you. Your life has been stolen from you. I mean that your ability to direct your own life, to engage in a creative giving to the society and to the earth, which is what you really want in life, at a basic, at an atavistic level, your true desire has been taken away in its place as the mandate that you must work, as the phrase goes, for a living. You must work for a living. But what does that mean, really? In our capitalist society, it means that if you are able to receive permission and have sufficient status, then through luck, effort, and a series of entitlements, including race, sex, gender, culture, ability, etc., you will be allowed to produce wealth for someone else. Now, this isn't what you're told, and it's very important for the continuance of the parasite society that you not understand this. So I want you to understand this. I'm talking about wage work. In this year, 2017, we live atop a great amassing of technology, the patrimony of humanity. It's ours. Everything from steam technology to lasers, you own it. Not just technology, culture. Beethoven, you own it. It's not just know-how, but we're atop a massive technological structure that is capable of supporting us all in prosperity. Really is capable of supporting us all in prosperity. Big lie is that there's not enough to go around, or that if it were so distributed, we would all be in poverty. This is not true. There's enough because of technology to support us all in prosperity. The Oxfam charity came out this week in a study that showed that 8 billionaires hoard as much wealth as is assigned to the poorer half of all humans on Earth. Eight, not 800, not 8,000, 8 billionaires hoard as much wealth as is assigned to the poorer half of all humans on Earth. That's how twisted capitalism is. Instead of recognizing the worth of each individual on Earth as precious to all, 8 people steal the permission and the means that would otherwise allow all of us to be prosperous and at ease. It's such an exaggeratedly evil system that it is hard to cognitively embrace. Is there really more than enough wealth and prosperity? Enough food and clothing and housing and medical care and status to go around in despair? Yes! In this computerized, mass manufacturing, technological world, there really is. There is so much wealth in the world today that we could even have a weaker sort of capitalism that is allow some people to have several times what other people have, and yet have plenty for all. But this is not possible. This is not possible in a system that psychotically rewards greed above all other human impulses and gives some people millions and billions of times what other people have. We have this wonderful pile of prosperity, and it's all taken up by 8. So here is what happens. Instead of working part of the time, part of the day, and part of the week, part of the year, which is all that would ever be necessary to generate enough wealth for yourself and your family to be happy, to be free, to do what you want, you instead work as much as you can be forced to work. And you generate wealth, and that wealth is taken away from you. Instead of participating in the wealth that you generate, instead of directing your own efforts and co-directing collective efforts as an equal in whatever business you're assigned to, you are forced into the status of a hireling, an employee, a lesser person. You don't have the rights. Not only are you not allowed to participate in collective decisions for your capitalist workplace, you're not allowed to know what those decisions might be. And instead of being allowed to have the greater portion of the wealth your work creates, you are given a wage. Wages are theft. Wages are theft. Wages are theft. A wage is an amount of money grudgingly returned to you after you have created a greater amount by your work. That greater amount is taken by the capitalist on the flimsy theory that those who have money deserve more. The wage is not based at all on the amount that you have generated. It is based on the desperation of everyone else. Think about that. Whatever amount is in your paycheck as a worker, as an employee, it is the least that you can be given. If that amount will also be sufficient to pay someone else to do the work. You can smile and get to know your fellow workers, make friends, have parties. Indeed, you'd best do that. But no matter how chummy things get, you have no intrinsic worth to the capitalist. You are a commodity. Commodities can be discarded, are discarded when convenient. You will be discarded. This is not a natural or a sustainable system, as we see from the 8 people who own half the world's wealth, as we see from the devastation of pollution and global warming and homelessness and mass incarceration, slavery and war that this sort of gross imbalance creates. It is a false system dependent on the deception that you are not worthy. The deception that you are not worthy. Not worthy in and of yourself, that you do not have a right to economic participation, nor even a right, a basic human right to a decent place to live while there are more dwellings than there are people to fill them. It is insanity. In a word, it is capitalism. Without lies, there can be no capitalism. The lies of capitalism are so thick, we don't even notice that we are repeating them. As an example, Let me slide one past you. You heard that Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos earned tens of billions of dollars? Did you catch that? Let me try to slide it past you again. Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos earned tens of billions of dollars this year. The lie is in the word earned. They didn't earn. That's impossible. They didn't earn that money. Are they millions of times more moral than you and I? Did they earn it that way? Are they millions of times more productive in their daily efforts? Are they millions of times smarter than you? Of course not. There is no such thing, and there never has been. Let's take the case of Bezos. The wealth that he criminally amasses is sucked out of the knee joints of desperate retirees in rusting recreational vehicle homes who travel from warehouse to warehouse across central United States for minimum wage jobs. Faster, 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 they're told. The warehouse workers of Amazon are never told that they are fast enough. And that is all literally wealth and life force that is sucked out of their bodies and out of their lives, out of their lifespans, out of their health, into the coffers of Jeff Bezos. So much that every worker is told that they will not and cannot last more than a few months at the dizzying pace of work in those warehouses. Their health and wealth is stolen away. Stolen from you and from me and our brothers and grandmothers and whoever else is desperate enough to stumble into the work, the wage work trap. It is invisible until you see it. Then you cannot unsee it. I want you to see it. Let me give you another example. Walmart comes into communities like Portland with the full intention of hiring people at wages so low that the corporation's profits are supported by the local taxes that go into food stamps. They wouldn't make it without that. That food stamp money goes right into their profits, forcing local businesses into bankruptcy by sucking the life out of Walmart associates. Never associate with the devil. And then they shut down all but a couple of giant stores once the local businesses are dead, dry husks. Billions of dollars are generated by frantic and sometimes entirely unpaid work. Billions drain out of lives and everything that would be otherwise supported by a prosperity of work and workers. Street lamps and hospitals and schools all sacrificed for the distant rich, for people who have never worked a day in their lives. Can you see it now? Do you see it? Is that matrix still invisible to you, the wealth theft that wages represent? Children become strangers to their parents. Parents divorce out of frustration, alienation, and crushed self-esteem from low wages. Houses are foreclosed upon, snapped up by rich conglomerates, held off the market, and sold at a huge profit. Rented at a huge profit. Billions are made from misery and then transferred to the undeserving heirs of long-dead Sam Walton. People who are born with billions of dollars, like Betsy DeVos. Is this reasonable? Natural? Sustainable? Of course not. It's madness. So can you see it now? Is it still invisible? So now, after generations of driving once educated societies of human beings down into desperate wage workers and media consumers, we have the great and final insult of Donald Trump, thrust into office by 60 million people and a set of dirty tricks that had nothing to do with Russia. See, please, tonight at 5 p.m. on Facebook, the live broadcast from Greg Palast. Pick up gregpalast.com, find out about it. Put it on your Facebook if you do that. Remember how Donald mocked and pointed at Goldman Sachs connections of his rival, Hillary Clinton, how richly he now rewards Goldman Sachs with appointment after appointment. What suckers. What miserable, deluded, resentful, racist, sexist, chauvinist boobs our 60 million fellow Americans have become. How sad. But it is only sadder by some degrees than we were before, as we went our merry way and allowed our own people to be crammed into prisons for being black or poor, as we allowed Muslim citizens across the globe to be slaughtered for being in the way of oil and gas pipelines for those billionaires who matter more than anyone and everyone. We did that under a president who looked handsome and spoke well. Now we'll do it faster and harder under a great orange fool. So I have a question to ask. Whose society is this? What is society for? Is it for feeding the rich? Is it for obeying the rich's commands? Or should it not be for you? Shouldn't it be for all the people, all the persons you love? Shouldn't it be for the earth, all the creatures on the earth? What is our great army and air force and navy for? Who do the police protect? Do you think they will return burgled goods to you or find your stolen car? Who do you cook dinner for? Is it Donald Trump and Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates? Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. It's 9:15, and you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I have a list of some of the details of tomorrow's local actions during the general strike. I'll get to them in a minute. I would like to ask you to call in with your information on what is happening during the general strike, the anti-inauguration push tomorrow and on into the next several months. I'll have more on that. Right now, Sunny's on the air.
Wow. Teresa, I wish I were recording this, but I would only record it with your permission.
It's and recorded. You can find it on kboo.fm/presswatch.
I really appreciate how articulate you are. You just spoke beautifully, really beautifully.
Thank you.
And it's like these people that are amassing all this wealth and their heirs, they're dead already, and they have to suck the life out of other people to keep going.
I think you got the point. And the other point I want to make is that we really want to be sweet to each other. We really want to, in a creative way, build society. And we're thwarted by this. And we've been thwarted for so long, we've forgotten what our purpose is and what we really like to do and what our basic nature is. It's not greed. We like to help each other. That's what makes us happy.
That's right. That's right. They've done studies of 2 and 3 year old children where they play these little games of, you know, here's a triangle, and the triangle can help another triangle get up the ladder or can help push the other triangle off, and they notice that from very young ages the children want to help the other triangle. Of course, you've always got to encourage that and strengthen it and all sorts of things, and instead we are exposed to continual media programming to kill it, stomp it out. But the other thing I was going to say is where drugs figure in, and I had hoped to have a chance to speak with Joanne and the district attorney guy about this. I hope that there is an opportunity for people that are enslaved to drugs to get a chance to climb out of those horrible addictions. But if they participate in gang stalking on other persons for payment of drugs, which can really happen, a lot of these drug people are being turned into robots, attack robots on other people, perhaps then people can say, well, you've been involved in this behavior, although how are we going to stop it?
Well, I would like to say at this point something I've said often.
Wait,
okay,
Teresa,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. And the thing is, drugs represent to me the meth and the heroin and everything. It's just like now I think we're turning into a society that wants people to get addicted. That's the ultimate way to keep somebody in line and confined. And guess what? You've got a pop up and get your fix 3 or 4 times a day or whatever.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful thing. I want to say something about the context, though.
Yes.
You know about the famous experiments in which they found that rats weren't so interested in drugs when they had a good life, when they set up the cages so that they were not desperate. It's that context that makes everything so much worse. Now, I will not deny that anyone getting into, say, heroin on a regular and daily basis becomes a rather boring and venal person. It's unavoidable. But the real horror takes place in this denial of human rights. Let me give you an example. Larry and Jack, I can use their real names now because I haven't seen these people for decades. One of them's dead. I grew up with them. One of them became a head and neck surgeon, had access to cocaine. He was very good. The other one was a chemical engineer. And the chemical engineer had been the son of the doctor, and head and neck surgeon was the son of a grandson of a doctor, and they grew up quite wealthy. They went to very, very good schools. They did very well. They were really at the top of their class. They really, really liked that cocaine. And so the chemical engineer decided, well, I'm going to make procaine. So he devised his own personal version of cocaine, which was quite effective, just exactly the same. And they enjoyed that cocaine, and they sniffed it every day. Mountains of white powder, all they wanted. And after a couple of years, they forgot about it because they were getting into their advanced degrees and getting into really, really exciting jobs and didn't have time for the cocaine. I bet you didn't think the story would come out like that, did you?
No, because they were supported enough and comfortable enough that they weren't stressed into No, I agree.
They used it for a thrill. It was a thrill for them. It wasn't the assuaging of an unendurable pain. And it's the unendurable pain part that we lay on the general population by not valuing each other, by not distributing wealth adequately, not distributing status and even housing in a humane way that creates this misery that makes drugs such a monstrous thing. So that was the point I wanted to make, and I thank you for waiting for me to make the point.
Well, may I add something quickly, though? I think if we are also a community, though, with a stronger anti-drug emphasis towards our young people, because at this point in time, I think the drug industry, both legal, pharmaceutical, and illegal, not talking about the medical or the, you know, recreational hemp, because that doesn't seem to have the overload of heavy addiction, la, la, la. But anyway, I think, you know, it's like they're trying to stagger our young people before they even have a chance to move the world. And certainly when
I get my local
lottery going.
And we are now completely off the point that I was driving towards.
Oh, okay,
I really appreciate your point.
It's
a very good point. Thank you very much. All right, you're listening to Presswitch. It's 9:21. I was talking about the value of human beings and how it is utterly thwarted under capitalism, and how after decades and decades and decades of this, we have arrived at imperialism and mass incarceration and the other nasty things that we do and won't admit. We have arrived at this state in which this fascist will be taking power. There was a great article in commondreams.org that my partner Ani pointed out to me. It's called Resisting the Trumpublican Shock Doctrine Blitzkrieg. And I want to pass some of that along with you. I printed this so that I don't have the author's name, so I apologize to the author. You can find it at commondreams.org. And he's pointing out that over the next 6 to 9 months, there's an opening, there's an avenue, there's an ability for the Republicans in Congress and for Trump to shock us with so many actions, with so many avenues of destruction that we'll not be able to respond. But they only have those few months. This was figured out a long time by Milton Friedman, one of the few things he got right, in my opinion. And Naomi Klein called it the shock doctrine. We have to turn this around. If we don't want to live in a fascist society, we have to take the initiative. We have to take the offensive. And we have this 6 to 9 months of sustained effort to knock back all of these efforts to fascistize the society, to worsen the wars, to destroy the environment, to increase the misery of mass incarceration, to crank up the racism and sexism. We can make tremendous progress against his agenda in that first 6 to 9 months, simply by thwarting him. And tomorrow, we can start that off with a hell of a shock of our own with a general strike. He writes, the most hardened Trump supporters may forgive even his most heinous sins, but many ordinary working class and middle class Trump voters may quickly discover he's not acting in their interest. A quick tutorial on the shock doctrine. In times of political, economic, or social crisis, including wars, terrorist attacks, natural disasters, economic panics, coups, and other dramatic political upheavals, and I would add, like this, theft of the election, oligarchic forces, meaning groups of the powerful, groups of the billionaires in this case, oligarchic forces push through otherwise unpopular free market and neoliberal reforms, including deregulation, privatization, tax cuts for the elites, and massive cuts to the social safety net, in the hope that the resistance won't have the time or the comprehension to organize. This is the shock doctrine. In more normal times, such fundamentally neoliberalist reforms, and that word is in quotes, scare quotes, would be so unpopular they would largely be politically unachievable. But according to Klein, Economist Milton Friedman, the guru of fundamentalist free market capitalism, articulated contemporary capitalism's core tactical nostrum. He observed that only a crisis, actual or perceived, produces real change. And so, speaking for myself, this crisis is now the election of the fascist and the fascists who support him. Once a crisis has struck, the University of Chicago professor was convinced that it was crucial to act swiftly to impose rapid and irreversible neoliberal change before the crisis-wracked society slipped back into what he called the tyranny of the status quo. And what he meant by the tyranny was his imagined tyranny against the super-rich acting as kings. He estimated that a new administration has some 6 to 9 months in which to achieve major changes. If it does not seize the opportunity to act decisively during that period, it will not have another opportunity. He writes, I would posit that the Trump's victory, unexpected by just about everyone, is exactly the kind of crisis that potentially allows the oligarchy to use the shock doctrine to do its dirty work. So think about this. Tomorrow, we shock the fascists. For the next 6 to 9 months, we resist like mad. In 2 years, we overturn their majority in Congress. In 4 years, we remove them entirely, or quicker, much quicker, if we remove their majority in Congress. And I would like to use this opportunity, this shock, to point out that it is the rottenness of the system, of the wage system, of the lie that you are not worthy. That's what it really comes down to, the lie that you are not worthy and that you are here to serve the rich. That is what got us where we are. And my offensive will be to attack that root and to make anyone who listens to me understand that you are worthy, that this is your society. This is not a society in which we are supposed to give everything away, everything, even the ability to live on the planet. The ability to breathe, that's how bad it's going to get. The ability to be on your island and not have it sink into the sea. We do not owe that to the damned 8 billionaires who have as much as half the world's wealth. And no, they didn't earn that money. They hoarded it. Let's look at a little of what's happened since November 7th, even before Trump was inaugurated. Trump has brought racist white nationalists and Islamophobes like Steve Bannon and Michael Flynn into the top echelons of the White House. He has relentlessly attacked the intelligence services for bringing to light Russia's campaign to influence the election in his favor. In the dark of night, Senate Republicans took the first vote to, by the way, a much more sophisticated view on that coming up with Pear. In the dark of night, Senate Republicans took the first vote to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. The Trump transition team demanded that the Department of Energy turn over the names of scientists working on climate change. Trump has declared war on the intelligence services. Trump has done nothing meaningful to eliminate his myriad of conflicts of interest. Congressional Republicans are plotting an agenda to roll back financial and environmental regulations, slash taxes on corporations and the wealthy, defund Planned Parenthood, and allow individuals from states with open carry laws to bring their guns into states in which they're legal. Trump has appointed a menagerie of swamp crocodiles to his cabinet, mostly billionaires with a record of opposing the very legal mandates of the departments they will be pledged to lead. Now, I said that I would tell you what's coming up tomorrow. First, the United Front Against the Trump Agenda rally in March, Shemansky Park, Southwest Portland, 10 a.m. That's Portland Jobs with Justice. Then there's the student walkout at Portland State University and the flag-burning extravaganza at Pioneer Courthouse at noon. Hundreds have signed up. Rise up and resist fascism. Pioneer Courthouse Square starting at 3:30. That's supported by 9,500 supporters on Facebook. That one will be huge. There will be meetings on East Side Parks. Pick an East Side Park and bang the pots and pans. No work, no shopping. Join the resistance. And there will be a night of music and organizing to fight the Trump agenda at Melody Ballroom. That'll be 6 p.m. to midnight. So the entire day tomorrow, general strike. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for more of the Incomparable Radio Zine on KBOO Portland. And we go out via 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Finance Committee meets every third Thursday at 5 o'clock p.m. ¶¶